Man, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Praise God, and I did. I've never been involved in a baptism that I did not enjoy. I'm so thankful, amen, to obey the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Luke. And we're not going to read the entire second chapter, but I do want to focus on verses 10 through 14 tonight. And thank you for coming. It's been very easy to stay at home tonight on a rainy night, especially after the wonderful program this morning. And didn't the young folks do good? Yeah. They just did a remarkable job. Was so very proud of them, and it just it brought back memories of when we used to be in the Christmas play. I towed a scar. I towed a scar on my right hand, on my first, I guess you call it the index finger. I can see it just shining right there. It always reminds me of the Christmas play that I was a shepherd, and we were given the opportunity to go out and cut our own staffs. Well, my cousin and I, we cut our staffs down, and we'd already trimmed his up, and we were trimming mine up. And, 10, 11, 12-year-old, there's something that hadn't fully developed in that, especially in us boys. They didn't have no fear T-shirts back then, but I guarantee you we could have both wore one because we didn't care. We didn't have any fear whatsoever. So I was holding the stick like a dummy, and he was trimming it, and, right down the stick and right across my finger. And we didn't stitch things up back then. Put some duct tape on it or whatever it was, and it growed back. But I still have a scar from that. So I can't ever go through the shepherds and see them. As I even thought about it today, as the shepherds begin to walk, I just kind of looked at my finger and said, yep, been there, done that. But I love the Christmas programs. I don't want to keep you standing too long. But in the second chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning with verse number 10, if you're there, say praise the Lord. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many blessings. We're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, this time together tonight in your sanctuary. And I pray, God, that you would just feed us that heavenly manna. Pray, God, that you would just rain down upon each and every one of us tonight, that we may be in one mind and one accord, God, receptive and submissive to your word and to your will. God, I thank you, Lord, for the season. I thank you, Lord, that it's in our hearts the reason for the season. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the mission that Jesus fulfilled. Lord, not only to be born in a lowly stable, not only to walk this earth for 33 and a half years, but be crucified on the cross of Calvary for our sins and to be raised that third day. Lord, and come forth victorious out of that tomb. Lord, to let us know, God, that we can be victorious and there is a resurrection. And Father, we pray and thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you bless now, anoint these lips of clay, God, to speak that you would have us to hear. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more time, put your hands together for Jesus, if you would. Amen. Tonight, just for a little bit, I want to focus our attention, and maybe if I had a message title tonight, it would be The Night the Angels Sang. The Night the Angels Sing. There is not a portion of this story that I don't like. I like everything about it. I like in Isaiah where the prophet talks about, for unto us a child is born. And I love that in the prophecy and the leading up to it. And even in the book of Ezekiel and Daniel, so many scriptures allude to the fact that there is a king coming who's going to set up a kingdom that's going to be, it's going to overrule all the other kingdoms of the nation. And, you know, probably a lot of people were looking for a physical kingdom, probably looking for
In fact, the Bible bears that out, that they was actually waiting on a king that would ride in on a horse and with great power. And little did they realize that Jesus Christ, in fact, he went the opposite of a horse and borrowed a little coat and rode in victorious and symbolizing that he was the King of Kings. And but it wasn't an earthly kingdom. It was a heavenly kingdom. And I thank God for that. But in this particular story, so many things are vivid in our mind. So many things are etched in our mind as we remember the stories. We remember places where we were. I can remember certain Christmases where I was and certain times that, thank God, I was blessed to be raised in church. And I don't know, probably never missed a Christmas program, whether I was in it or whether I was just viewing it or whatever. And that's to thanks to my mom and my dad that raised me in church and made sure that we was there and for practice and all of those wonderful things. But every part of this particular story or this reading of the birth of Christ, I've got memories in my mind of years gone by. And as I began to think about it this week in anticipation of the program and of the services that we have that we dedicate to the Lord and to commemorate and celebrate the birth of Christ, I began to think about the angels and how they came and to be a part of this story. And I don't believe it was just because they showed up. I don't believe it was coincidence. I believe it was the plan of God. Just like I believe that everything that God created, I believe it was the perfect plan of God. But as he chose, I heard one minister talking about the choosing of the shepherds. And I did not know this, but the preacher went on to say that that the shepherds were not even allowed to testify in a court of law because they was of such low degree. They were kind of the bottom of the totem pole of the classes in that particular day. And he went on, the preacher went on to say how remarkable it was that God in his infinite wisdom and power chose the shepherds to appear. He could have appeared to anybody. He could have let the angels appear to any, he could have let them appear to the wise men. He could have let them appear to the Jewish priest, to the Sanhedrin court, to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. But he chose the lowly shepherd. And, you know, I thought about the shepherds and I thought about how they were overwhelmed by the announcement and by the appearance of the angels and how that they happened to be in this place. And I don't know. Let me just kind of jog our memory. How many of us have found ourselves in a certain place, whether it be a physical place or a spiritual place, just when the hand of the Lord begins to minister to us? And it wasn't by chance. And it wasn't by circumstance or coincidence. Little did we realize that God was putting us in a place where he could speak to us. He was putting us in a place where he could make an announcement or change our life in some way or fulfill a promise to us. And I believe as the shepherds probably went out that day in anticipation of feeding the flock, maybe they even maybe spoke to one another, you know, where do we need to take the sheep tonight? And maybe they went thought about some of their choices, places or something. But whatever decision they made, they ended up in this particular place. Now, I believe the angels could have found them anywhere. But I really believe that everything was the perfect plan of God. I believe they was in the exact field, exactly where they needed to be, that the angels appeared. Now I want to talk tonight just a little bit about the angels. And the angels singing, and what were they singing about, and what caused them to sing about this wonderful event? We know now what that event was, because here we are in the year 2017, and many of us have spent many, many Christmases, and we always recite and read this story, and we keep it in our heart, and we should keep it all year long. Amen. You know, if you ever really want to be blessed, read that story sometime around July the 4th. Amen. Because it's just as real, it's just as meaningful in the middle of the year as it is as the celebration of Christmas. And many, many times I will flip it over. And this week I had a wonderful opportunity. I was visiting Mother, And there in her room, right under her little television, there's a little shelf there, and there's about three or four Bibles. And I got the Bible that had her name on it, and I flipped over, and I turned to the second chapter of Luke. And as she sat there in her rocking chair, and how many know sometimes roles reverse? If you live long enough, roles reverse. And I can remember many, many times sitting at her feet, and my brother and maybe some of the cousins sitting there, and she would get the Bible and she would turn to the second chapter of St. Luke and she would read the story of the birth of Christ. So I said, well, Mother, I tell you what, I'm just going to read from the book of St. Luke, the second chapter. And she said, that's a good one. So I read it in its entirety, and she sat there and rotten tears rolled down her cheek. And she said, you know what? That story is more beautiful than it ever was. It just gets sweeter and sweeter. So thank God. It doesn't matter how many Christmases you've went through. Doesn't matter how many Christmas rushes you survive. Amen. You can still get the second chapter of St. Luke, and it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Amen. But here I began to notice that the angels sing. And what made them sing on this particular night, I tried to look back through the Bible and find. I know that God uses angels in many, many ways. And throughout the Bible, God used angels. He used an angel to announce to Zacharias that John was going to be born. He used an angel to come to Mary and tell her that she was going to conceive of the Holy Spirit and bring up a child, which would be Christ, the Jesus Christ. And at different times, the Lord used angels, but I don't recall them actually singing. And I began to think, and as I reminisced back, what did they sing about? They didn't sing when God created the heaven and earth. What a wonderful miracle that was. The angels evidently knew about it and were present, but they didn't sing. And I thought about what brought the singing part out. What caused them to sing with such joy? And not only the one angel that announced it, but that angel was accompanied by, the Bible said, a multitude of the heavenly host. And they were singing and praising God. And I wrote down a few other things. You know, when God formed and fashioned man from the dust of the earth, and what a great and wonderful miracle that was, we don't hear about the angels singing. Maybe they were present. Maybe they were aware of. They were God's ministering spirits, and I have always been through the Bible, and it's wonderful to read how that God uses angels. But again, we don't read where they sang. And when Isaac was born to Abraham, the seed, the promise of a great nation, that God was fulfilling his promise in Abraham and Sarah's latter years, and when it seemed like it was physically impossible for Sarah to conceive and for them to have a child, but yet God fulfilled his promise. Let me just pause there for just a minute and remind us, if we're in the midst of a promise of God, don't give up on that promise. Amen? It may not happen exactly when we think it will, but if God made the promise, he will fulfill that promise. Amen. And the promise was to Abraham that he would have a seed, and his seed would be so numerous that they wouldn't even be able to count it, even more numerous than the sands of the sea. So again, as Isaac was born, and what a wonderful and remarkable miracle that was, but we don't recall hearing the angels sing. Maybe they were aware, and maybe God used them in a certain way, but we don't read of the song that night. When Noah built the ark, and he and his three sons and the daughter-in-laws and wife was saved from the horrendous flood that came upon the earth, and then for the duration of the rain and the storm, and then when they came forth from the ark and built an altar and glorified God, what a wonderful time that was. It was to go out and to multiply, and you know, we always think about the terrible devastation of the flood, but we need to understand that it was a brand new beginning for mankind. Amen. So many times there needs to be a purging process. I don't know about you, but when I came down to the altar and I invited Jesus Christ into my life, there was a purging process. Amen. The old was burned away or flooded away, whatever analogy you want to use. There was a transformation that took place. And even when I came to the Lord and when he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't recall hearing the angels sing, nor do I recall reading that the angels sang when Noah and his family came forth from the ark. And I don't recall hearing or reading about the angels singing when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And what a glorious thing that was. Amen. Out tending his father-in-law's sheep and looked over there and there was this bush burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside now to see this great thing, why this bush is not being consumed. And as he began to approach, the voice came from the burning bush. Many of us would have turned and ran, but the voice said, take off your shoes, for the place that you stand is holy ground. And God began to tell him exactly what he wanted to do, but I don't recall hearing the angels sing when God was giving Moses explicit instruction to go down to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. Nor do I recall reading about the angels singing when the children of Israel marched out and went to the Red Sea and God divided the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. What a wonderful miracle that was. And I recall hearing the reading about the children of Israel and the song of Moses as they came through that flood or came through the other side and began to glorify and praise God through song. But I don't recall reading where the angels sang. And what a glorious miracle that was. And I went on to think about the manna that came down, the angel food, the manna that came down from heaven. And I don't recall reading about the angels singing when God performed that glorious, wonderful miracle in the midst of the wilderness that fed a multitude of people. Nor do I recall the angels singing when Joshua and the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho a number of times, explicitly according to God's direction. How many knows you can't do it six times and get results? If God said do it seven, you need to do it seven. Amen. If God says raise your hands, you need to raise your hands. If God says testify that you've been healed, you need to testify that you've been healed. A lot of us said, well, no, I'm going to wait till the walls fall and then I'll glorify and praise God. You know what? I believe we ought to testify and praise God before the walls ever fall. Amen. But even in the midst of pain, you know what makes Satan so mad? When you raise your hand and you're hurting so bad, you say, thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, for your touch. Amen. There's a lot to be said for faith, and God honors faith. Amen. But even in that great example of a miracle performed by God and the walls falling, I don't recall reading where the angels came down and began to sing. I'm sure they were aware, but I don't recall reading where they sang. When David stepped out, and it was mentioned this morning in the Bible, in the Sunday school class that Brother Rowdy was teaching, and how that God used David and to go out there when nobody else on the side of Israel would dare go out and challenge or face the challenge that Goliath was out there ranting and raving and calling the children of Israel all manner of names. But he was this little shepherd boy again, a little lowly shepherd. He says, I'll go out. And he went out and he chose him five little stones and he put them in his shepherd bag and he went out. And you know the story of how that Goliath cursed him and said, am I a dog that you come out with a staff? You know, said, I'm going to kill you and feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. But David said, you know what? You come to me with a spear and sword, but he said, I'm going to come against you in the name of the Lord. How many knows that the name of the Lord is stronger than any spear or sword or any weapon that man could ever conceive? And David put the stone, he only needed one, put it in the sling, and you know, even as good as David was, even as much of a marksman as he was, I believe that stone was God guided. Amen. I believe when it left the sling, God took it over just like a missile. Amen. They talk about smart weapons today and how they can program those things to hit. I believe the Spirit of God took hold of that stone and guided it right exactly where it needed to go. How many knows God knows what he's doing? Amen. We may not understand, we may not realize, but God knows what he's doing. And as that giant Goliath hit the floor or hit the ground, and David took his own sword from him and he cut his head off and held it up in victory, I don't recall hearing or reading where the angels begin to sing a song of victory. Although it was a mighty feat, a mighty act, and a wonderful miracle of God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, unharmed, unburned, the only thing that was burned with the ropes that had them bound, amen, but they came out victorious, amen. I would imagine that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were singing praises unto God. Wouldn't you have a testimony if God brought you through the fire, amen? It may not be a natural fire, but I believe we can agree tonight that God has brought us through many, many trials, through many fires, amen, and we ought to be the loudest singer of the song of praise, of glorifying and praising God because He brought me out. Amen. He delivered me. Glory to God. And He set my feet on a solid rock. But still, I don't recall reading where the angels came together and sang of that glorious miracle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego coming out of the fire. When Daniel faced the lions, you know, a lot of people said, oh, they wasn't hungry. They was when they throwed the other people in there. Amen. Hunger had nothing to do with it. God closed the mouth of the lions. Amen. What a miracle that was. Let me tell you something. Don't get frustrated when people around you are chewing at you. Don't get upset, amen, when people are trying to bite you and chew you and bring you down, amen, because God will close the mouth of the lions, amen. They won't harm you a bit in the world. They may talk and they may rant and rave, and I would imagine that those lions probably growled a whole lot. Their stomachs may have been growling because they was hungry, but you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Amen. I believe that Daniel was there just as safe and protected as I am standing behind the pulpit tonight. Amen. Why? Because the power of God closed the mouth of the lions. Amen. And that great and wonderful miracle, I don't recall reading where the angels came down and sang. But I imagine Daniel had a testimony, don't you? I imagine he glorified and praised God. When Elijah went up in a fiery chariot, I don't recall reading where the angels sang. All of these miracles, and I'll only mention just a very few of miracles that are actually written and recorded in the Word of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you ever become impatient with God, if you ever think that God doesn't care, if you ever think that God is not able to see you through another time, go back and rehearse and refresh your memory and read of the wonderful acts of Almighty God throughout. You can go anywhere in the Bible and find something good. You can find something encouraging and know that, and you can even find the scripture that says God is no respecter of persons. Amen. If He kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He'll keep you. Amen. If He closed the mouth of the lions for Daniel, He'll do the same thing for you. If He tore down the walls for Joshua and the children of Israel, He'll tear those walls down for you because you have that promise from God Himself in the Word that says He is no respecter of persons. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, mountains can be moved, amen, and you can glorify and praise God. And all of these wonderful miracles that were performed by the hand of God. And I begin to think, Lord, I understand the miracle of the birth of Jesus. A lot of people don't believe it because they can't understand it. It doesn't fit their ideology. It doesn't fit their way of reasoning. The impossibility. Somewhere I read that Mary was just a teenager, maybe 16 something years old, when she conceived through the Holy Spirit. And you know, people of supposedly sound mind and understanding can't wrap their brain around the fact, amen, that a virgin could conceive and carry the child. But how many knows that God is able to do all things? I've only mentioned a few miracles that God did tonight, amen, but He's done so very many more. But the miracle of the birth of the Christ child in itself is a glorious and wonderful miracle. And all the Bible tells us is just to believe the fact. How many believers do we have in the house tonight? I know we can recite the story. I know we can reminisce about the story. I know we can recognize it when it's read. But how many of us really, truly believe the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. Joseph married her knowing the fact that she was already conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that thing thing, the Bible said, that was in her was anointed and precious. Amen. The world don't understand that. They can't understand that. But thank God, through faith, amen, to believe the entire word of God, we know the fact, amen, that Jesus Christ was born. And the angels sang. All these miracles God did for man. The word I want you to understand is for man. Would you slip your hand up if God has ever done anything for you? Oh, thank God. That alone ought to let us know that we never need to be depressed. We never need to be upset, because if God, I believe it was 100% tonight. I may have missed a few, but I believe it was 100%. If God has ever done something for us, He's done so many things for me, too numerous for me to even count. I thank Him and I appreciate every blessing He's ever given me, every door He's ever opened, every wall He's ever torn down, every giant He's ever slain for me, every situation that He's ever brought me through. And all of these wonderful miracles God did for man. But something was different about this miracle. Something was so unique, so great, and so monumental that the messengers of God, the heavenly bodies, the Bible talks about, the ministering spirits, they knew that this was important. They knew that this was exciting. They knew that this had never been done before. Out of all the miracles that they had witnessed God do, this one took a special place. So much so that when the one angel, the Bible said the angel of the Lord, maybe his personal angel, came down to the shepherds and announced what was going on, and then all of the other angels that were there, a multitude of the heavenly host could not keep quiet any longer, and they had to join together. I don't know what they sung. I know some of the words, but I can imagine the melody absolutely was the most beautiful melody that we've ever heard. We heard some wonderful, beautiful songs today and tonight, and thank God for that talent, but I believe none of us could ever imagine the sweetness and the melody and the preciousness of the song that the angels sang that night, because they put their feeling into it. They knew the promise was being fulfilled. They knew that this was what Isaiah talked about. They knew that this was what the prophets alluded to. This was absolutely, singly, the greatest thing that had ever happened in the world and ever happened since, was the birth, the miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angels knew it. On this night, instead of God doing something for man, God gave something in man. Think about that. God chose man to put His Spirit into, through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He could have just said, let it be. But listen, God never does anything by chance. And He did not destroy the blood covenant. For remission of sin, there has always had to be blood atonement. So the spiritual part of God had to be placed in the physical part of man, in order to bleed and die for us. And the angels got so excited, and the angels got so thrilled, amen, that they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Notice what the angels said, for unto you, not unto us, amen. One writer said, we've been made a little bit lower than the angels. What is man that God is so mindful of? Do we realize the love? Do we realize how much God loves us? In order to send His Spirit, amen, in the birth of Jesus Christ, to be crucified for our sins. And the angels sang, because this night the miracle was that God gave something in man, His Spirit through His Son, and the angels knew it. The greatest gift that could ever be given. Can I get a testimony tonight? The greatest gift that could ever be given. As we approach another Christmas season, our minds turn to gifts naturally. the gifts that we've received. And I just kind of want to prove a point tonight. And this may not be completely unanimous, but I believe it's going to be close. And I don't want you to blurt out an answer. I don't want you to raise your hand. But I want you to think. Now, we know the obvious answer is the Holy Spirit. But in all of your Christmases past, is there one that stands out? They're all great. They're all wonderful. They're all up here in the mind and in our heart. But in that one Christmas, is there a gift that you've always remembered? You know, some gifts don't have to be expensive. Some gifts don't have to be enormous to be etched in your memory. The most precious thing that you remember over the years. And I thought about that, and I had a hard time narrowing it down to one, because I've had so many wonderful Christmases and been blessed so much, and I appreciate everything that's ever been given. But none of them could ever compare to the gift that God gave man that night that the angels sang. That night that the angels sang. Oh, the shepherds, they were a little fearful to start with, but I believe that song just kind of mellowed them out. They kind of put peace in their hearts and in their minds. And they wanted to go and see this great thing that had come to pass. The angel of the Lord announced it. Again, unto you. I want everyone to point to themselves tonight. That's who he was talking about. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Hallelujah. Would you put your hands together for the Savior? Would you love him? Amen. I love that little song that the puppet ministry does. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. And didn't Grayson do a good job this morning? He did really, really good. He just played the part so well. But I saw Grayson, and I saw that little innocent baby, and I saw Micah as he picked him up, and you know, the baby started getting a little restless, and Micah just kind of calmed him down and rocked him and held him in his arms. And I thought about that night that, you know, Mary kept these things in her heart and she pondered them. She was overwhelmed by the whole birth, the miraculous birth, and everything that had transpired. And now here it was, in actuality. She held the gift. She held the gift. And there was something about it, I believe she realized that this is just not my gift alone. This gift belongs to the world. And don't you know that 33 and a third or half years later, that when she stood there on the hill of Golgotha and she witnessed what they did to her son and how they beat him and how they put that crown of thorns upon his head. And I thought the angels were singing about that, knowing the destiny of Christ and knowing what he would endure in the Garden of Gethsemane when his flesh just absolutely stayed up all night praying, Father, can't there be another way? Do I have to face death? And the angels sang about that. And the angels glorified and praised God because they would take the spikes and drive them through his hands and his feet. And they'd take the spear and thrust it in his side. The pain, the humiliation that he would suffer, and the angels saw something in that to sing. But what they did, they looked past all of that. And they began to sing about the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. What was he called? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All of those things begin to be encompassed into that song, I believe, that they sung. Maybe not word for word, but the meaning was there. Because that was the only hope for humanity. Nothing less would have done it. Nothing more could have been done than the Son of God come and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be saved. Enjoy this Christmas. Enjoy your time with your family. Cherish your time together. They're wonderful memories. Memories being made each and every day. Look and take pictures of the smiles on the children's face when they open the presents. As you sit down to the table and you undo your belt and enjoy the wonderful pleasantries of all the Christmas cooking. Be a part of that. Enjoy it. But keep the story alive. Keep the song alive that the angels sang. Glorify God. Praise Him. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill toward all men. God bless you. We love you. You're so precious and so sweet. If you love Jesus, give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand, every head bowed, every eye closed?